this week is called the week of Truma. Now, Truma, again, when I say this week called the week of Truma, I go, of course, by the Bible. I'm going by the Bible. So every week there is a different name for the portion. Now, the word Truma means contribution. The word Truma means contribution, to contribute, to be kind. Not just with the money, with the time, with the words, with how we can be nice to each other. Now, the idea of a spiritual person has been, in the old days, in the time of the Bible, and I think also in our days, a human being is being defined their spirituality for how kind they are. This is how you define spirituality. Spirituality, I mean, for people, let's say, who believe in God or love God very much, it's a very good thing. But there is more than just loving God. We have to get into a place where we are connect to people with kindness. Now, why is it like that? We need to understand it. So the Kabbalists explain that the way that a person starts to get the light of God into their life, they act like God. Now, how is God acting all day long? If you were to be God, you know, it was that funny movie with, I forget what his name, that he become God, and he answered all the email yes, all the email no. But there is basically something very important about acting like God. So all the Kabbalists explain, if God is merciful, you will be merciful. If God is kind, you will be kind. If God is forgiving, you will be forgiving. And the idea is to get to this place that step by step, a person is capable to be nadiv. The word is nadiv. Nadiv means generous. Nadiv means generous. Now, generosity is the number one part of being a spiritual person. And that's why this week portion called Truma. Truma means contribution. When a person is not capable to be nadiv, when a person is not capable to be generous, there is something block about their spirituality. But it's not just with money. Money is one way to define. That's why the Talmud writes that the way you define a person, it's a koso, kiso, vekaaso. Koso means the way you drink, not green juice, alcohol. Kaaso means his anger. And kiso means his pocket. So three ways to define a human being. So those of you still single, if you're going on a date, those are the three things that you would know everything about the person. Koso, kiso, vekaaso. Koso, the way they drink, what they do after they drink. Okay? Kaaso, what they do when they get angry. Are they losing it and they throw a thing? Or they all get in and just curse you one time and disappear? Or they want to kill you? You know, how far the anger go. And kiso mean their pocket. How, what do you say in English? How deep is their pocket or how close is their pocket? Or both. Deep and close, maybe. All right. So the idea is, generosity, nedivut, the verb in Hebrew, it's called nadiv. I'm going to write it down for you so you can know a little Hebrew here. Nadiv, nadiv. Okay? Nadiv means generous. So the way you test yourself also, how generous you are with people. Now, money is one thing. Then come time. Who like to give time? Nobody like to give time. We feel like the time is the most important thing that we have. But then we waste 5 hours because we're addicted to Facebook or Twitter or whatever, you know? But the idea is to give time. You know, I just heard from my friend Linda, who told me about a gentleman that actually volunteers in an organization to help children, and that touched my heart. It's not only because the person is kind and nadiv, it's because the person going out of his way to really help children and help people. This is nice. This is amazing. And the other thing of being nadiv is with words. Are you willing to say some good words to people who bother you? Just to say good words, just for the fun of it. So take a day or this week, take a time or an hour that you can be kind to people. Take Facebook, which is a great tool, or Twitter, and say, "Hi, people, I want to wish you a great day." Be generous. Sometimes we write something on Facebook or on Twitter that we want attention to people. And we keep checking it every 20 minutes how many likes I got, you know? But we should give the like to them. You know, I'm sure that somebody will invent it soon in computer world that we can share the like. Let's say if I have 2,000 likes, I'm giving it to you, you know? That's share the like. So I want to tell you that before I'm going to go into the deep subject of this week and how we're going to get there is, There is a gentleman, I went to pray somewhere here on Pico, and this gentleman, it was a debate of charity, who's going to buy whatever they want to buy. So one guy is offering, you know, $100, the other one said $200, $300. In the end, it gets to $500, which is a lot of money. And then after he get what he want to get on this debate, who's going to buy it, then he give it as a gift to the person who debate with him. And when you see things like this, that's spirituality. Spirituality is not how good you pray or how wonderful your mantra is. It's nadiv. Are we willing to be nadivim? This week, those of you who want to get the best of what you want to get from this week, practice your nadivut. Practice your nadivut. Practice your nadiv. Okay? Money is one thing, time is another, and then love. Love is the ultimate, of course. But don't skip none of those three things, because this week is called Truma. So, the Zohar is telling us that this week also, we're getting tools of how to build something from inside that will be able to bring the Shekhinah down. Will be able to bring the Shekhinah. Now, what is the Shekhinah? The way you write Shekhinah in, if I stand, my head will disappear. Oh, no. Okay. Shekhinah, if you see the word Shekhinah, you have Shach, which is 320, and you have Yudan A, which is the same gematria of the word Adonai, which is the female aspect of God. Meaning that there is 320 lights exist in this world, and those 320 lights will sit exactly within the physical vessel, the Malchut vessel. Meaning what? Meaning that this week, we, if we behave in Nedivut and more stuff, I have like 6 points to give you tonight, you will be able to build a certain container that will get you the 320 light to sit with you. Now, I have a section I want to start with from the Zohar. But again, this section is a little bit heavy or a little bit sound religious. So do not take it in a religious way. I will do the best I can to separate from the religious connotation that it has and give it to you in a way that we can understand. So I'm going to read from the Zohar. I think it's verse 87. No, 88 or 87? Yes, 87. So let's read. They can hear me. Yeah, go ahead, please. Loud as you can.
Then the holy people needs to join and come to the synagogue, and whoever comes first joins with the Shekhinah in one union. Come and see the first one to be present in the synagogue. Blessed is his portion, for he stands in the level of the righteous in relation to the Shekhinah, and this is the secret of, and those who seek me early shall find me. Such a person rises to the highest level. And if you say, we learn the Holy One, blessed be he, immediately becomes angry when he comes to the synagogue and does not find 10 people, yet you say that the one who proceeds becomes joined with the Shekhinah and is in the level of righteous.
Okay, so we need first to explain, what is a synagogue? Basically, it's a place where there is a scroll, a Torah, and within the Torah, the people are basically pray together. And when they pray, it's a tradition that happens since the tabernacle in the desert. So it's something that continues to our days. Now, the Shekhinah come to that place. The Shekhinah means the female aspect of God coming there. The problem, if the Shekhinah come and there is its empty room, God forbid, it creates judgment instead of creating mercy. So the idea is, somebody was asking me today, you know, they know that I'm involved in doing the best I can to help people from Venezuela. I'm working with people there, people here, and it's very difficult whatever going on there. So they asked me, what should we do? I said, well, if we have 22 men together, every man will be connected to the Hebrew letters, we can actually create change in any state that we want. That's how powerful it is. So the synagogue is not just a religiosity of Jewish things. It's more a way that we can connect to certain energy. You know, this Shabbat we have a nice group of people. It was really, really nice to see everybody coming. We dance, we pray, you know, and people from the neighborhood, you know, was not connect to Secret of the Zohar, Kabbalah, were really, really happy with that. And it touched them. And the important is to be able step by step to help more and more people. And that's really what it's all about. But remember, you ask a question. Why is God getting angry if he's coming and nobody's here? Let's understand it. Yeah. Next section.
He answers, this is similar to a king who sent a message to all the inhabitants of a city that they should gather with him at a certain time at a certain place. Before the inhabitants of the city could prepare themselves, one person came first to that place. In the meantime, the king arrived and found that person who came early. The king said to him, you, where are the inhabitants of the city? He said to him, my master, I came earlier than they, and they are coming after me by the king's order. This pleased the king, who sat with him and spoke to him, and they became friends. In the meantime, all the people came, and the king accepted them, and then sent them away in peace. But if these people would not have come, and one would not have preceded them to speak before the king and to say that they are all coming, he would immediately get angry and wrathful.
So the idea is when people come to pray, the first one is the one who gets the benefit from everybody. Why? Because many times when people come to pray, when people come to connect or to meditate or to do different things, we're forgetting why we're doing it. We think it's kind of, we do it because everybody else is doing it. But it's a secret. There is a big secret going on there. The Shekhinah or the female aspect of God or the light or the angel that's coming here, the upper world is coming down to help us reconnect ourselves to our soul. Now, when those forces are coming, it's a lot of light. It's a lot of energy. So if those energy is coming, and the first one is coming here, is giving hope for the other one to arrive. It's giving hope to the whoever is waiting. So there is no judgment. And because of that, the first one is giving hope for the angels, for the divine from above, to know that good things are coming. So that's why, you know, when I see people coming in Shabbat here, I always tell them, make sure you're coming first. Make sure you're coming early. Because you are merit that light for everybody who's coming after you. Let's read the next section, please.
Okay. In this case also, since one preceded and is present in the synagogue, and the Shekhinah arrives and finds him, it is considered as though they are all present there, because he is waiting for them there. Immediately, the Shekhinah joins with him. They sit together, and she becomes acquainted with him and sets him into the level of righteous. But if one did not proceed and was not there, it is written, why, when I came, was there no man? It does not say, and there were not 10 men, but rather, was there no man? Meaning one, to join with me and to be near me, as it is written, the man of Elohim, which means to be in the level of righteous.
So the Zohar continue and explain, the light want to give. Let's say some of you missing money, some of you missing health, some of you missing relationship. So the light itself want to share, want to give. When the light want to give, the divine, God, the creator, want to give, and we are not here to receive, it's almost like an insult. But we know God doesn't get insulted. The mighty one gets insulted, it's embarrassing. So we're not talking about insulting, we're talking about like we're missing the blessing that might come into our life. And because of that, instead of creating blessing, it creates judgment. So the first one who's coming is preventing the judgment for the one who's coming later. So always, whatever you do, try to do the best you can in order to come 5 minutes earlier to whenever it's come to spiritual event. Whatever it is, a lecture, or study the Torah, or study the Zohar, or study the Ari, or study something, come always a few minutes before. Whatever it is, don't be late for those kind of things. Don't be late. You can be late on your date, no big deal. They will wait for you, don't worry. You can be late to your dinner, don't. But when it's coming to a spiritual event, always try to be in the beginning, because it's almost like you understand that that's what gives me life. You know, I saw one of the video of May You Rest in Peace, Dr. Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you like him. Yes. He used to be one of my heroes, and he's still one of my heroes for 20 years. So he passed away, and a great, great, great man. And there is a video on him now, how he wake up and what he does, his ritual. So every morning when he wake up, he do the Jewish prayer. He wasn't Jewish, but he does the Modani. So you're shocked, like, Modani, really? But he believe in that, that's the best way to start the morning. So he said in English, he translated into English, thank you God for wake me up. And I think it's great because we don't really appreciate waking up this morning. We are looking at what we don't have. We're looking for what we miss. We're looking for the pain I have in my ankle and all kind of things that I do have. And the idea when a person comes to pray and to meditate, a person has to come with that type of excitement. There is a question in the halacha. Halacha means the Jewish law. And they're asking a question, if young children still need to come to pray. There is a question like that. And the answer is absolutely not. They don't have to. They say, so why should the father and the mother try to bring them? And it say, sachar psi'a. The reward that they get by walking toward the place of connecting, toward the place of praying. And so the child only getting the walking, the distance that he made, to go to connect to the Creator. But once he connect to the Creator, he almost get nothing. Don't tell it to your kids, but they're almost getting nothing. But what they're getting reward for is walking toward and believing their parents that where they're going is the light. It's amazing. If you look at that, Jewish law was written about 2,000 years ago. And I'm looking at it and say, wow, this is weird. I mean, we should tell it to people. You know, I'm holding it in. I tell it, I don't tell it. I mean, it might sound a little bit religious or a little bit too Jewish, and I'm not trying to put or offend anybody. But it's good to share it because it helps you opening your mind how the Talmudic people is to think. You know, those 2,000 years ago, they used to sit and have argument, debate, disagreement, and then they come up with some conclusion. You know, what's right, what's wrong. And I'm not telling you to follow it, or you don't have to, but to think about it, to think how they used to think. And I find that fascinating that we're talking about Truma this week, we talk about being nadiv, being generous, we're talking about building the tabernacle, and God is saying to the people, Vasuli Mishkan, build me a tabernacle, God said, Veshakanti betocham, and I will dwell within you. What he said, build me a tabernacle, build me a temple, build me a synagogue, but I will dwell within you. He should say, build me a synagogue and I will come visit you. Meaning that there is another synagogue, another chamber, another temple that we build, and that's the temple inside. So, yes, we need to have the temple outside, which is where we're gathering the men and the Torah and the women and the kids and everybody. That's when we pray and meditate. But you also have to build now from inside. And that's where I'm going to take you right now. So I'm reading from a book that's called Sfat Emet. Sfat Emet was a Kabbalist that is buried now in Warsaw, in Poland. It's about 25 minutes drive from the airport. And he write three level how to build a chamber from within. He giving us step by step how to do it. So the first level, he said, is ratzon, desire. And he write like that. How do you build a chamber from within? He say spirituality, Torah, the Bible, the Zohar, the spirituality that we study here, has everything in it already. But you only can get based on your desire. We need to explain it, what he say. I want to build a chamber this week. All of us want to build a chamber. And through the chamber, you get everything you want. Now, what is that need to be done? First is desire. Desire that I know that every time I open a book of spirituality, every time I open a book of Torah, I know that within it, there is all what I desire. Now, can we think like that? Normally not. Because we try to manipulate the entire universe to get what we want, and we end up with what we want, and then we get disappointed. Why? Because the structure of things, how things need to be in my life, it has to go through a channel of spirituality. If I am a spiritual person, and if I truly believe, there is something called the Creator. The Creator supply all the good things through a certain channel. Now that channel, that pipe, it's written, believe it or not, that within the Torah, within the five books of Moses, there is actually all the secret of the Creator. People think that the Torah, the five books of Moses, was written historically later, after God created the world, because it's a story. If you look at the story, it's a nice story, right? Adam and Eve, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Esau, war, Balak, Pinchas. No. The secret of Kabbalah teaches us a secret. The Torah was written before Adam and Eve were created. How can that be? That means that that story was there before human being came to the world. So it's almost like a script for a movie that was there before the act. So what are we doing here? If everything already been written, what's a free will? What do we want from Adam? What do we want from Eve? Well, the idea that within the Torah, there is everything. Everything. Everything inside. Everything you can imagine. Everything you want, it's there. Do you have the desire for something that the Torah can do for you? Or your desire is some random desire? You know, I'm working with many, many religious people, like Christian, Muslim, Hindu, and we had the talk today. And I was supposed to give a presentation of Kabbalah and what it is. And it was fascinating. And I was worried that they were not accepted because they're very Christian. I was concerned, be honest with you. Even if it's life, I can say it. I was worried, and I'm teach for 28 years. It's still, you don't know, you don't see the faces, was on the phone. So you don't see how...
The reactions.
Exactly, it's very difficult. And surprisingly, they were very happy, and they loved it. And I said that, I was a little strong to my opinion. I said, listen, what you're presenting to me is very much more on the physical planet. What I want to present to you is something non-physical at all. And I hope I will not insult anybody. I prepared them. And then I spoke. And when I say that within the Torah, I said to them, all religion believe in the Torah. Five books of the world all believe. Later on, people add whatever it was, the Quran or the New Testament or other books. It was added later. But Torah, everybody agreed. Everybody agreed. It's okay. Five books of Moses. And the idea, if you believe that through the Torah, you actually have all your desire there, it starts happening. And it's not only happening, because it will happen no matter what. It will happen and it will stay. But if you will have the desire that you want from life, let's say you want a nice car, better relationship, more health, it will happen too. But the joy and happiness that you will have from this will not be as great as when you draw the blessing through the pipes of spirituality. I want to make sure it's clear because it's a new thing for me when I read it. So, wow, that's a great discovery, and I hope it finds you well. Again, this is the first step of building the chamber from within. Second step, is to have certainty, to have a belief system. Belief system that the Creator, the Divine, taking care of everything. And that's a difficult one. When you go to work, for example, do you believe that the Creator is there? When you go to see your doctor, do you believe that the Divine know better what's good for you than your doctor? When you go and things don't work in the same way you want it, you promise never to fight with the people you love, your children, your wife, your husband, and bloop, it come out. I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Do you believe that the Creator was involved in that? Do you believe that was the best thing? And to build a chamber, again, first, the desire, everything comes from the Torah, desire it. Second level, to have certainty that the Creator is involved in everything. Everything. Whatever you are in the wrong traffic, whatever somebody cut you on the highway, all weird things that are happening to you. Okay? I will tell you something. You know, my doctor, my dentist just called before the class start. And, you know, dentists call you. That's unusual, right? Usually you call the dentist. But I have the best dentist, if you want his number. My dentist is the best. What happened? They forgot me on the chair. No, it's a good dentist. It's the only time it happened. So I'm on the chair, and they didn't tell him that I'm actually on the chair. So I'm waiting there like 45 minutes, you know. And usually you wait 10 minutes, yeah. Top. And I said, listen, this traffic is in the valley. I'm going to make it in class in time. I don't know what to do. So I saw that he's busy in a surgery next to me. I cannot bother him. I cannot say anything. So I left. Basically left. So he called. He heard about it. He was very upset that they didn't tell him. They didn't even tell him I'm there. So I said, please don't punish your people. I'm a believer, and I believe that that's meant to be not the right day maybe my gum and this and that. We do it this week, don't worry about it. Or next week. And the idea is, ask my wife, if he will fall on another customer, the other customer will yell and scream at him. Why did he have me as a customer that I talk nice to him? And I said to her, this guy is nadiv, he's generous, he's a kind guy. So he always, even his customer that God gave it to him, and his work, all working eventually okay. When you start to have faith and certainty in the creator involved in everything, you're going to start meeting different type of people. You will see that. Different type of people will happen to you. And this is very, very important that you start understanding it. One of the reasons I call my organization Vital Transformation, or in a different word, it's called Spiritual Umbrella, or Eliyahu, or whatever you want to call it, is to give people a chance. That's what we try to do here, to give people a chance to grow themselves. I don't want people to have dependency on me or dependency on my organization. I want people to understand that they have inside of them the chamber. The synagogue is inside of you. Third thing. It say, you should make me a tabernacle and then I will dwell within you. Say to us, Fatemet, what does that mean? You should make me a tabernacle. Meaning you canceling of you so there will be more existent of the creator. Now, how do you cancel you? How do I cancel this? You know, I have a hard time with my wife telling me I'm wrong to agree with that. How do you do that? How do you, where do I start to cancel me? All what I got is me. You want to cancel that? Look at that. It's very important to have an understanding because that's the third part of the building that inner tabernacle. It's not what you do with your wife or your husband. It's not what you do with the driver. Now, this is has to do with the divine. This is has to do with the divine. I had on Friday a gentleman who called me from Argentina. I don't know why, but lately, since I'm doing what I'm doing here, I have a lot of people from South America reaching out. Maybe it's my tikkun or something like that, like phone call every day for only from South America. And that gentleman called me from Argentina. And he knew of my story for whatever happened to me here. And he tell me a story about you and the divine. I said to him, you know, it was a point in one point that I didn't have money. I was in Uruguay and I didn't have a place to sleep. And I had with me a group of three people. They were young. And I rather have them go to sleep. And I didn't tell them, but I stay in the car. It was a little Volkswagen, if you know, Beetle, you know, 76. So it's the old style. I don't know if you know them. So I'm staying there. And I asked God to protect me. And I asked God, please help me. And it humbled me. Because sometimes either you get angry when things like this happen to you, or you become like lower. You lower yourself. And I have to tell you that I slept in the car that night. And I had so many dreams. And so many things happening to me about all the future and everything is going to happen to me. And in the morning, I wake up from a knocking on the window. I left the window a little open. And it was a nice gentleman with a short, no shoes, no shirt. And he looked at me and said, are you Rabbi Eliyahu? I said, yes, how do you find me inside the car? It's so embarrassing. Like, that's not a good way to start. You know, it's... Like, give me a chance, like, to dress, look normal. But the Creator wanted this way. That's how the Creator wanted. There's nothing I can do about it. And I said, yeah, it's me, but, you know, I'm so embarrassed. This whole thing is wrong. And because you didn't move, because the wheel in 76 cars are a little bit bigger, so your leg can move. And I say, you don't know who I am. Nah, 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 nah. I want you to come to my house. I need your blessing. And I said, you sure you want me? There's many other rabbis. I said, I don't know. You. So I'm getting to the house. It's one of the richest guy in Uruguay. And he's getting three people walking around me. One is the maid. One is a massage therapist. And one is the chef. So who are those? I said, those are your private people. Wherever you go, they follow you. So, no, I can't do that. It's not good for my ego. I said, what ego? You slept in the car last night. You have no ego left. I said, okay. So I remember the first night when they set up my bed. I slept on the floor. And my friend asked me, why are you sleeping on the floor? I said, I'm worried a little bit. So why are you worried? I said, my ego stopped going up. I don't know. I never saw a bed like this. I never been served that level. It's embarrassing. I mean, people iron my, forgive me for saying, the underwear. It was like soldiers standing there. I never experienced something like that. So when you are capable to humble yourself in the right way toward the Creator, not toward people. Toward people is nice too, but toward the Creator. And understand that here I am, God. I'm going to make myself low. So I'm allowing you to shine. Those three levels, my dear friend, if you're capable to do those three levels this week, I will tell you that you will find the chamber inside. When you have the chamber inside, you will start getting answer, getting dream, getting vision, getting everything this week. Especially because it's the month of Adar, the month of Pisces. It's available now. Psychics are in the air everywhere. You know? So just try to do those three things. I know it's difficult. Desire that everything is in the Torah. You just have to desire it. Second level, faith or certainty. To understand absolutely that the Creator is everywhere. And the third one is humble yourself in such a way that you humble yourself with the Creator, that you don't get angry if you don't get the thing you want because you're getting excited. You're saying, wow, now because I am lowering myself, there is more room for God. Wherever there is ego, there is no room for God. There is a story about that Kabbalist who came to town and everybody knew him and everybody was so excited that he came to town. So everybody was fighting where he's going to sleep. Because whenever the Kabbalists come to your house or eat from your food or stay in your place, your house gets blessed from the angels. And the it was two people in the end in the debate, and both of them are quite wealthy. So the Kabbalists asked the people of town, where should I stay? So, well, this guy is very rich, is very nadiv, is very generous and everything like that, but he has a lot of ego. The other guy is not so rich, is a little bit nadiv, a little cheap, a little nadiv, but no ego, very humble. So he said, I'm going to stay with the humble one. I said, why? The other guy is much better. He said, well, it's written in the Talmud. Please remember that. There is only one sin that God cannot help a person. It's written in the Talmud like this. I will say it first in Hebrew. When a person has a gahava, gahava means pride, God say, En hani vehu yecholim ladur bedira achat. Me and him cannot live in the same apartment. That's what God's saying. God never said about a killer. Never said about a sinner. Never said about a thief. Why only a person with ego? When a person full with ego, there is no room for the Creator to shine. The Creator can shine only in a place where there is empty. So when you get some things not working for you, you know God is there. You absolutely know the Creator is there. When everything is working out and your ego is shining like crazy, might be God just took vacation to Cancun. You are just alone. You know, so you need to start looking at life very different. You know, you have those days that, like me, right? You wake up 5:30 in the morning, you park the car somewhere for the mikveh. I open the door and I park it wrong. I cannot even get out. So my body gets stuck this morning between the door and the wall. And I cannot go in back and I cannot go out. And nothing worked. Creator is there. That's the moment. That's the moment. You know? So you say, wow, thank you. You know, and those are the moment. So sleeping in a Volkswagen, those are the moment of the Creator is there. This humble moment. But it's not how humble you are because somebody humiliated you. I know a lot of spiritual people like to get humiliated and say, oh, now I'm close to God. Sometimes this is the ego too. You know? So we need to develop some type of relationship with the Creator, with the Divine, so we can have the chamber from within built. And this is the week to do it. Why not to do it? Okay? Didn't finish. Now, it say to build a chamber, inside the chamber you have to put candelabra. Now, candelabra, the way you use candelabra, you know what candelabra is, like a Hanukkah, like a menorah, like a menorah. It say that you need to elevate the candle. It doesn't say light the candle, elevate the candle. Now, why do you say elevate the candle? So what is inside of me? Now I'm building a chamber, right? So we understand the three level. Now we're coming to what's going on inside the chamber. Now I'm going to build the candelabra. Candelabra bring light, but I have to elevate it. So I'm bringing now a section from somebody by the name of Kedushat HaLevi, or his full name is Rabbi Levi Yitzhak from Berdichov. By the way, if you say his name every time you have issues, you get a miracle. That's what Kabbalists always did when they get stuck in some issues in life. They always say his name. So you just need my MP3 or the video and just follow it. You say Rabbi Levi Yitzhak Berdichov ben Sarah Sasha Aneni. That's the old verse what you need to say. But I don't want to go there right now. Let's see what he say. The candelabra inside your chamber is built from basically what it means to elevate. Elevation is relating to love. Now, love has normally two sides. Love, something which is bad for you. Agree with that? Yes. Love, something which is good for you. Agree with that? So there basically there is something that you love. Let's say people come after this lecture, this Shabbat, I'm going to have people like knocking on the door so early in the morning. Hey, Eliyahu say we got to be early. So that's love to do the good thing. But there is also love to do addictive things. A lot of time we are love things that to do with my body consciousness, not with my soul consciousness. So say to us, Doshad Alavi, there's a third type of love. So profound, so... And I'm praying all day long that God will help me to explain it in such a way, in the same way that I get excited when I read it first. Every love that you have, whatever you love to the good thing, or whatever your love is for the bad thing, explain to us, Rabbi Levi, all that essence of love coming directly from the divine. How can that be? What about love? God forbid, to cocaine. What if it be love to something very addictive? How can that be? How can that be love that comes from the Creator? It doesn't make any sense. The roots of love, the roots of loving something, is a person is loving that things or something because there is something in it that make that person high or good mood or whatever it is, that essence that make him feel like that coming also from the divine. So the love that is built within it, try to understand, it's very profound, was captured by the dark side and was put into the wrong area. When a person elevate that love to the roots, which means wherever it came from, then that love get corrected. I will explain it again because I'm not sure everybody is with me on that. I look at the eyes, that's why I put the glasses to make sure the expression. It's so profound and the most important lesson. One of the most important lessons of this 2017 for me. Again, you love that thing, you love good thing. Both coming from the Creator. That's a new revelation. And because both are coming from the Creator, the idea... Most people hate themselves for loving the bad thing. They hate themselves. They can't stand themselves. Can't stand themselves. It's like a gentleman, who God bless him, as he told me in his verse, in his words, he said, Eliyahu, what can I do? I choose the worst addiction. Doesn't matter what it was. So I choose the worst addiction. That's what he told me. Now, what does that mean? I choose the wrong addiction. He loves something that he can't stop loving. But that he loves, that's an achievement. That's an achievement. So there is two type of sin. Hate something good or love something bad. Remember, there's only two type of sin in this world. Hate something good or love something bad. And there are always two type of personality. You need to know who you are, by the way. There's people who love something bad and there is people who hate something good. You got to find out who you are. You cannot be both, by the way. The one who hates something bad, something good, called Gevura. Gevura, judgment. The one who loves something bad, called Chesed. All people with addictive personality are Chesed. They are the nicest people in the world, but they cannot control what they like. They're doomed. Do you understand? It's a very big, but within them, there is the roots of love. If they take that love and say that feeling of love, where does it come from? From the Creator, from the Divine. I'm going to elevate that feeling to the roots, and that by itself will cure me to love whatever the Creator loves, not whatever I become addicted to. And I'm so excited about this lesson, and may God make this lesson through Facebook or through all the tools to spread it to millions of people. That's my dream, if you can share it and help other people. It's so important for me because this is the roots of solving all the evil in the world. You know, people love the country. They go and fight for the country, not because they hate the other country, because they love the country. So why they love the country, that love coming from the Creator, it just don't been managed correctly. So that's why Kedushat HaLevi said, we need this week, when we build the chamber, think about all your negative attributes that you have. Listen to what he's saying now. He's coming from Noam HaMelech Rabbi HaMelech of Lizhensk, and he writes, when a person do all this tabernacle and build everything, we're looking to get reward. Now we did the right thing. Now how can I get reward for what I did? I did well. I was nadiv. I was give charity, help people, la la la, the whole nine yards. Now what am I getting? And normally, that's where problem begins. When we becoming nadiv, when we becoming generous, when we becoming kind is the reward. Not the reward that coming after I become kind. Which means, if I have a capability, ability, desire to give you, that's the gift itself. That's that I have within me a system that want to be nice, that's the gift. Not, I'm nice, now what am I getting for it? And normally, you know, most couples who come to see me, most of the issue, most of the fight, is one of them do something, and the other one want a reward for what they do. And I understand it's normal, because you give a dollar, you want to get a dollar in return, or at least 75 cents, you know? You make 75 cents on the dollar, it's not so bad. But you're giving a dollar, and they're still telling you you owe them two, you're losing $3 if we talk numbers. Now, so you give a kiss, you want to get a kiss back. Okay, but you give a kiss, you get a slap in the face, and your name is Don Jesus, you got a problem here, right? So the idea is to get to a place that the act of goodness is the reward itself. And until we don't get to that place, even if we build the tabernacle, listen carefully, even if we build the candelabra, it's still not working. And it's coming from the Mishnah. Mishnah is a book that was written 2,000 years ago, a little bit more, by the Tanaim. Tanaim are the people who used to make miracles. Jesus was living in the time of the Tanaim. People who walk on water, fly, they did everything. All of them did that. So they wrote a book called Mishnah. One of the sections in the Mishnah is called Pirkei Avot. It's a great book to read, by the way. If you have time, read it or buy it. It's a great book. So in Pirkei Avot, it say, do not be like a servant that serve the king just to get the reward. Be like a servant who serve the king without expectation, without expecting anything in return. Now, and then he gives some example. You know, can you imagine a waiter's? You're sitting in a nice restaurant, and every time he brings the water, he look at your face. Huh? 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 How much tip you gonna give that? Huh? 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 You know, by the way, I experienced one time like that in Miami. I had a situation like this. Nightmare. One of the nightmare. Like, never. Never. Scary. I couldn't wait to get out. I was afraid to get out. I thought he's crazy. Maybe he has a knife or a gun. I just wanted to get out of there. And it was the wrong move. I shouldn't listen to my husband. But anyway, the reward itself, I went one time to a flamenco show with the most famous dancer in the world, by the way. Most famous is Joaquin, I think it's name. And we met. So he came to America, doesn't speak English. And after, you know, I don't know if you know flamenco. Flamenco, you know, there is the women do like this. And he does with the shoes. You know, all those movements. And after he does the movement for 2 minutes, you know, you sweat like a lot. And then he do, and it was Lincoln. You know, like Upper West Side. And nobody clapped their hand. You know, they were there, and like they are more the different crowd. They're waiting for the show to keep going, and he's coming from Ibiza or Spain or somewhere there, and he and then he get angry. He did to them like that, like what's going on? So the communication as an issue. He was doing that thing. They were not laughing. They were, and he was very pissed. He was very upset. So I happened to know his manager and ask what's going on here. And he said, well, he come in his culture, you know, every little move, the people are warm, they get into it, they dance, they stand. And, you know, you come to, what's it called, the place? Lincoln Center, yeah. It was Lincoln Center. That's where it was, the big place. And he was waiting like, hello. But the people are more, you know, sitting there with some as champagne and looking at the move. Wow, that was a great move, you know. So they, and that's as much. So sometimes when we serve, when we do the right thing, automatically we're expecting the right thing back. And with that expectation, my dear friend, what Rabbi Elimelech is telling us, not exactly that these words, but it can destroy what you're building. You know? So if you're building a relationship with someone in a nice way, don't destroy it by expecting something in return. Don't destroy it after you put the tabernacle and somebody will treat you nice because you treat them nice. Go above that. There is a higher level. And when you go to that higher level, you're going to find different type of people, different friend, different neighbor, great thing that will happen to you. So please remember Rabbi Elimelech Nijes. Last thing from a Kabbalist by the name of Rabbi Shimshon Meostropoli. He used to be the Kabbalist that created miracles and not too long ago. And that's the last thing. That's an advice for relationship. It says, whoever is not nadiv, creating the worst relationship in their house. Which means if you are a couple, you and your partner are together, and one of the partner is cheap, the cheap partner will cause their partner, if not to leave them, to be not totally faithful to them. So one of the reasons that people are sometimes not faithful, what he writes, is a secret of Kabbalists for thousands of years ago, is the generosity that you do in your house is removing the need to cheat, because we know in most couples, unfortunately, I'm sure you know, you don't need me to tell you that, there is a lot of cheating. People are not faithful to each other, but because there is no nedivut in the house. It's got to be nedivut in your house. It's got to be nedivut. Somebody knock on your door and ask for food, you got to be nadiv, you got to give, you got to be generous, you got to go out of your way to help. Somebody ask you for something, go out of your way. You know, my uncle, I have to mention a story. My uncle, you know, if you look at his face, you would never want to ask him for anything. The scariest person ever. But if you ask him in 2 a.m. to help you with someone, something, and you wake him up, he will drive you to wherever you need to go. He will not talk to you the 1 hour, nothing. Not even say hello to you. Remember my uncle. He have a cigarette on the left, like out of the window. And he drive the car. And he doesn't want to be nice. But it will be all the nicest thing that you want. So when you get used to those people, there is good people out there that are very nadiv. They're very generous. But they don't necessarily have the face of generous people. So don't judge people. Sometimes people are not nice on the outside. But they do more than the people who just smile. My sister, if I tell my sister I need $100, I don't want to give it to you. I'm never going to give you again. That's my sister. So, you know, there is people who have nadivut. Nadivut, Rabbi Shimshon is telling us that this is prevent any type of issue in a relationship when you do nadivut. And that's why the Kabbalah, the Zohar teach that you should have like a box in your house. And every day, at least $1 should go into that box for charity. And that's what we should do. You know, you put it like $1 and that's not your money. You know, in both, the couple should do it. You know, one day, one side, wife or husband or partner, you know, you put $1, then the next day they put, and they know that box don't belong to us. It's part of the relationship. Most people, when they talk about relationship, they give each other. But that's not the relationship. They need to develop their relationship. There's three part of them. You, the other person, and the relationship itself. So when I invest in you, I'm expecting you to do something for me. But we both need to know that we have to invest in the relationship. To invest in the relationship, we have to bring the Creator into the picture. We have to bring the Divine into the picture and give and be more nadiv.